If you have your Bibles this morning, and turn in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. You know, what is the frustration for children of God? What is the... You see, so many times that, you know, I'm called to bring truth, and yet when I see maybe nothing happening the way that I should see it, does that negate the fact that I should still bring forth truth? Well, same in your life. Even though you are living that life that God has called us to live, and I'm talking about that spiritual life that predominates the physical life, when we are called to do that and we see nothing happen, are we to less live it just because we don't see it? You know, I harp on religion because religion has creeped into our churches. Religion has changed who God is and what God's purpose is. Religion has come in to deceive us so that we don't see truth. Do you understand that is what Satan wants, is that we never come to the saving knowledge of who Christ is? I was given this, and again, like I say, sermons come from different areas, and God is always putting things together. But it's another place we're going to visit, because I know you all hear me harp on this, but a lot of times when you come to a place that's always there's truth, and then you don't understand that what's going on out there and what other people that you're dealing with and coming around, what they're dealing with and the truth, the lies that they've heard. This was picked up in our church. Terry gave it to me. By a member of our church, gave it to her and said, "Hey, Lloyd might want to see this." But this came from our church, not from our body, but you know, we have other bodies that worship here. It says, "Going to heaven is as simple as ABC." How about that? Going to heaven is as simple as ABC. Now, you've heard me preach on this, and you've heard the lies behind that. The Bible says that what's impossible for man is possible with God only. It's not about going to heaven either. But you see, this is propaganda that the Baptists and a lot of the denominations are putting out. This is what's being taught in probably 80 to 90% of our churches, this kind of stuff. And you wonder why I'm so passionate about, because this is what I was saved from and out of, the deception of Satan and the lies that were sending me to hell, but convincing me that I was okay with God. And it started off with things like this, that, you know, don't you want to go to heaven? It's simple as ABC. Do you want to know that you are going to heaven? According to the Bible, it's simple as ABC. I have searched the scripture over, and I've never read that passage of scripture, that according to the scriptures, it's as simple as ABC going to heaven. Have I missed that in some book or something? It's not there. But yet, it's in our pamphlet. But according to the scripture, it's as simple as ABC. See, all you got to do is admit you're a sinner, and there's nothing you can do to work your way to heaven. As written, there's no one righteous, no, not one. So they've even used scripture here to back up the lie. The scripture's true. How they're using it's the lie. Understand? And then they say, believe that Jesus Christ, God's Son, came to earth, died on the cross, to pay for your sin, debt, and rose again on the third day, and from the dead on the third day. And then they got scripture there again. But God commanded his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And then C was to call on Jesus and to ask him to forgive you of your sins and save you from hell. Does that pass the scripture in there too? Does it say anywhere in scripture for you to pray and God save you from hell? Did I miss that one too? This is what's being given to children. This is what's been given to adults that are having a hard time in their life. This man's propaganda, this man's religion. And then it says, dear friend. See, now you're a friend. It's that simple. It's just, I have just been working myself to death here. And all I had to do is find this pamphlet. And we can go home after I read this, okay? There's no need for me to stand up here and yell at y'all anymore, because this is all, it's all wrapped up. I mean, look at, this Bible has got, look at all the Word of, look at how thick the Word of God is. And yet, I am wasting my stinking time because it's all wrapped up in a couple, this one little page. Dear friend, it's that simple. Won't you agree with God that you need to be saved and receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior right now? If you will pray something like this: Dear God, I confess to you that I'm a sinner and that I deserve to die and go to hell forever to pay for my sins. I believe that Jesus died and shed his blood on the cross in my place. I now receive Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. I do it. I receive it. I'm taking it. It hadn't been offered to me yet. You can't receive something that's not offered. The Bible said no one comes to the Father that's not drawn by the Father. No one. He also says no one knows the Father but the Son, and no one knows the Son but the Father and whom he pleases to reveal him to. There's no conviction of the Holy Spirit. There's no conviction of sin from the heart. It says in there you confess Jesus from the heart, and then the mouth confesses. They left all that out. See, if you just prayed that, he says, if you just prayed that to God, you have this assurance from him: he that has the Son has life. So, and if you've decided to trust in Jesus and your Savior after reading this tract, please write and let us know so we can put you on a bulletin board. That's what I think about all of that. And that's what we've adopted in our churches, and that's what we've adopted in our world, and that's why this world is going to hell in a handbag. Because we decide that truth isn't good enough, that we'll write our own. We don't need Scripture. We'll write it the way God meant it. You understand why this is such a passion to me? Because there's people sitting in churches all over America, and there may be even some sitting in here that refuse to listen to God, and they're going to stand before him and he says, depart from me, I never knew you, because of this garbage and trash that's out there in all of our churches and being taught. That's garbage. And it'll send you to hell. Listen to what Paul has to say in Corinthians. See, when I came to you, brethren, I did not come with superiority of speech or wisdom proclaimed in you the testimony of God. He says, I'm not better than you. I just because I know and God has revealed truth to me doesn't make me better than you. It means I just know. I simply just know what lies ahead, and I know what God has revealed, and I know God's truth, and I'm just here to share that with you because you're on the wrong road. He didn't come with superiority of speech and say, I'm better than you, I'm smarter than you. Hey, I know Greek, I know Hebrew, I was a Pharisee of Pharisee. He wasn't bragging about anything that he was, but he simply had a truth that broke his heart. This breaks my heart. I said that prayer as a kid. I sit there and went through all of this religious garbage. I lived my life like that. Breaks my heart. Doesn't make us wiser, doesn't make us smarter, it just makes us right with God. And it should humiliate us to the point where we are so concerned that we pray fervently for those that are lost, that they may see truth. We ought to be praying for the churches that gather today, because they're not sharing truth. They're trying to build numbers. You got one denomination fighting against another denomination. Who can get more members? You're born into the kingdom of God. It's not a contest. It's a fight for your soul. He goes on to say, for I determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I didn't come in arrogant. I didn't come in saying, being a know-it-all. He said, I just know what I know. I just know what I've been through. I know what's been revealed. See, as I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. He said, you know, this was new to me. I don't know what the future holds or brings, but I now know a revelation and truth. I know what I was and I know what I am now. It was revealed to me through Christ. And now I'm a servant and I'm trembling. I mean, why would he tremble? Because he wasn't arrogant. He knew that only if God allowed it could you escape the perils of mankind, and that is a condemnation to a fiery hell and a fiery death and the wrath of God. And he trembled because he didn't know if these people would accept or not accept, or how they would perceive him or not perceive him. He goes on in verse 4, it says, "And my message and my preaching were not in persuasive words of wisdom." See, somebody wrote that and said, man, I got a really neat way to get people to say this prayer and go to heaven. Man, and all, I mean, there, you got the Roman road, you've got, I don't know, there's all kind of tracts out there that have sit there and taken the scriptures out of context so that you can just go ahead and say a prayer anytime you think and want to, and there's no convicting power of the Holy Spirit that's convicted you of your sin, that's broken your heart and broken your spirit. So you go to God with a broken and contrite spirit, and therefore there you go to him and you're sorry. You hate the very thing you are. His message wasn't persuasive. Is it just what it is? Each Sunday, I just tell you, this is what it is. There's nothing persuasive up here. But demonstration of the Spirit and the power, the Holy Spirit's got to convict your life. The Holy Spirit has got to reveal to you. He is the only one that has the permission from God and the power of God to open your eyes to the revelation that you're lost. See, it's through the demonstration of the Spirit. I don't have to entertain you. I'm not going to entertain you, even though maybe I'm entertaining because I don't accurately say things right. It's in the power of the Spirit. And if he doesn't hold you here because of the power of God and your spirit is not refreshed by the reading of his word and the truth and this that's here, and you may be looking for something. Well, we don't have a great kids program, but I will tell you, we've got the best kids program because we're telling them truth. Well, you just ain't got nothing for my kids. I've got the only thing your kid needs. You hear me? I got the only thing your kid needs. And I'm here to help you as your pastor to train them children up in the way they should go, that they fear God and know God. Oh, we ain't going to play. We may not put on plays. We may not do all that religious garbage that leads to that. We're not having the Easter bunny come, okay? And teach Jesus. You know, Jesus doesn't need the Easter bunny. We might have an Easter egg hunt, but we're not putting Bible verses in the eggs, you understand? Now, as a matter of fact, when we have our Easter egg hunt, there will be not even a word spoken about Jesus Christ. You understand? Because I want my children to raise up in this church know that there's no correlation between the Easter bunny or Santa Claus and Jesus Christ, that this is Almighty God who sent his only Son that we might not suffer the wrath of God. We're not using these things. God does not need our persuasive speech. He called us to live as a light so that when he worked in someone's life, they would know where they could go and get truth. And there's nowhere that anybody can go now to get truth, hardly. Because of all this garbage that we do in persuasive speech, because if we're not persuasive and we don't give you something that you want, then you won't come. Sad, isn't it? Listen to why he does this. In verse 5, it's so that your faith would not rest on the wisdom of men, but the power of God. You see, men's wisdom always changes. This coronavirus thing has been a great example. If you can't see through it, you're blind. Remember when they came out with the vaccine and said you had to be boosted in 4 weeks? And then they ran out of vaccines, didn't have enough for the world. So now they said, oh, we can booster you in 6 or 7 months or whenever we get them. Well, you can't change science. You can't change truth, but they do. That's what men's wisdom does. They fix it to where they want to whatever they want. And that's what you're seeing now. In the world we live in, we're changing truth. I'm put truth in parentheses, of course. You know it's the only truth is God's truth. But I'm talking about man's truth. It changes. It changes to whatever fits their bill, fits their needs. And if that didn't raise a red flag for you, you need to seek counsel with the Spirit within you. Because God has given us that Spirit so that we're not deceived. But you can't change science. You can't change fact. So he did this so that you wouldn't rest upon the wisdom of man that's always changing. So now religion comes in, the world comes in and says, okay, you know what? It doesn't matter if a pastor is divorced or not. We got pastors preaching all over America this morning that have been divorced, which nullifies them from the qualifications of standing up and handling God's word correctly. They have to be the man of one wife. If you don't know how to handle your own household, how can you handle the household of the Lord? There's a reason that it's a man of one wife. There's a reason that his children believe, because they see within the man, and it's reached down and they have seen that. And that man has allowed God to save them. See, but now that's okay. Divorce is okay. It don't matter. Who cares? Everybody does it now. So, because it's amazing to me that whatever becomes natural is now right, or what we think is natural and right. So now divorce is just, we don't work things out. We just divorce. Now gender's a problem. So now the churches will begin to accept the gender problem that we've got. We've already given away the position and roles that God gave men and women. Even in your churches, you got women deacons in a lot of churches. See, this persuasive speech, look what I've got in my church. Go alongside and look at the websites at the competition if you're looking for a church, and how you're persuading these people to come to that church. But no one offers truth. And no one ever says, we just offer truth here. And it's all about worshiping God. We don't have a fancy webpage. Don't put a lot of effort into it. The way I look at it is, God tells me that he is the one that adds to the body of Christ. And when God begins to add to this particular body, he will add. But it'll be because you all begin to live truth in your life, and you begin to look for those opportunities that God gives you to share in those that are around you. See, it's not a matter about building this church. It's about a matter of people coming to the saving knowledge of Christ wherever they go. You see, it's the persuasiveness of man. That's why a lot of the churches are full. Look at all we do for God. You want to get fulfilled and you want to feel good about your life in Christ? come here, let's go. See, we always got to go to a bigger church that's got more to offer. And kids are going to die and go to hell, because I know there's a lot of folks that are being taught that garbage this morning. And I know some folks dear to my heart that are at churches that are being taught that. And yet, because they have more to offer for their kids and things, they're there. That's sad. We've got friends. Well, your church just don't have anything for our kids. If God's word is not enough, then how sad of a people we are. It says, but we speak God's wisdom. This is verse 7. In a mystery. See, it's the hidden wisdom of God predestined before the ages of glory. The wisdom which none of the rulers of this age has understood, for it has they had understood it, they would have not crucified the Lord. And boys, is that not true today, that our rulers don't understand the mystery or the wisdom of God at all? None of our rulers, or very few. I hear very few speak out about God's truth and a nation turning back to repentance. I have not heard one politician, very few preachers, I haven't even heard any television preachers say that America needs to turn back and repent and get back to God's ways. He says, for just as written, things that which an eye has not seen, an ear has not heard, and which have not entered the heart of man, all that God has prepared for those who love him. You see, there's a mystery of God. There's something that God has prepared before the foundation of the world that he wants man to receive, and you don't get to receive it when you say a prayer. You receive it when you're convicted by the Holy Spirit and when in God's time for you. But see, I want to be saved, but I don't do anything. We talked about it in Sunday school. You know, it's so much, I want to be saved, but I don't want to do anything to be saved. If you think just prayer is going to save you, you think just prayer is going to help you, you have been lied to again. There's got to be an effort. Paul says you run the race as if you were going to win the prize. You buffet your body. You discipline it. And the only place faith comes is hearing, and hearing from the Word of God. And that's the mystery that the world doesn't understand. See, they think for somehow they can write a pamphlet that's clever and quick and fool people into this relationship they have with a God that they have proclaimed that doesn't exist. And then they stand before him and he says, depart from me, I never knew you. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, just turn the page. In verse 14 it says, but a natural man, you know what a natural man is? That's me and you. Okay? And I want to back up for a moment, just understand that when I talk about the order of God, and then I said that a woman has never, God never expected a woman to be president of the United States or head a company or anything like that. Their role in this world is to be a helpmate. That does not make them inferior. I want you to understand that. I'm not talking about your worth. I'm talking about God's order. Do we understand? I want to just make sure that someone doesn't go out here and say, well, he's against women. I am not against women. I got one, and I like her very much. And she's an incredible helpmate. She's an incredible pastor's wife. Wow. Because she took on the role that God had given her and worked diligently at making our home a home when times I was not. She helped. So I just want to make that clear as I back up, that it doesn't have to do with your how much you're worth. It's that it was God's order, and that's how he created us, and that's how he wanted to be, and that's the only way it works. Nothing works better than what God had written for us. The man is the man of the house, and he better be the spiritual leader. And you men, when you have time to come up here and do spiritual food for thought, your kids need to see you do that. That's part of the training that I'm talking about, where your kids see it. Don't let your women come and do it. It's okay for the women to do it. You got that? But would they only see mommy go up there? Huh? Yeah, this church has got a lot to offer your kids. We're going to raise them up in the fear of God so that someday they do come to the saving knowledge, the true saving knowledge of who He is. But a natural man doesn't accept the things of the Spirit of God. See, they're foolish. See, all the stuff that I just spoke, I could, if I would stand up in a church, in a lot of these churches today, they would absolutely stone me on the way out with the things that I've just said. Do you understand that? That's in the day and time that we are in? Because they're all still natural. I say that prayer, I'm natural. I'm always natural. I will always be natural. I don't care how many times you say that prayer, you are natural. You become unnatural, supernatural, spiritual, whatever you want to say, is when you receive the Holy Spirit, not accept Him. You can accept all day long, but if it's not given to you, you can't get it. It's not yours. You have to receive it. The natural man can't understand anything I'm talking about this morning. You see, the foolishness to him because he cannot understand them because they are spiritually appraised. And if the Holy Spirit is not living in you and telling you and explaining these things and revealing these things to you, you cannot understand it and live it and get it. That's why he went into the Galatians and says, oh, you foolish Galatians, you started out, but why do you think you can perfect this in the flesh? Because everything is spiritually appraised. But he who is spiritual praises all things, yet he himself is appraised by no one. Doesn't matter what you think about me, but it does matter what you think about me. It's a paradox. But ultimately, it doesn't matter what you think about me. If you think, oh man, he's a great child, he's a great Christian, I'll use it, he's a great Christian, which you know I don't like. Doesn't matter if you think I'm a great Christian. If I'm not spiritually appraised by God, it doesn't matter what you think. It doesn't matter how many people stand around my casket and say, he was such a good man. He is in a better place. Doesn't make me in a better place. It doesn't matter how you appraise me. Doesn't matter what you say. It matters what God says. We take the man's opinion way too much when it comes to spiritual matters. But he who is spiritually appraised is all things, yet he himself is appraised by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he will instruct him? We have the mind of Christ. See, that's what the new birth does for us. It gives us the heart of God, the mind of Christ, and the power of God through the Holy Spirit to live and walk according to our calling. Not based on our own merits, but on the merits of the power of God. And then in 1 Corinthians 4, 1 through 8, we'll just really quick. Let a man regard us in this manner as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. That's how he wanted to be seen, is that nothing more than just a servant of Christ. Someone who abides in Christ. It's not like a servant master where I don't want to be there. It's not my will anymore to be there, but now it is my will because I was born with a new will. I was born again with the will of God in me. That's why the new birth is so important. This little pamphlet doesn't talk about a new birth. This spirit doesn't talk about the Spirit of God indwelling in you and you receiving the Holy Spirit. It doesn't say that if your spirit, if God's Spirit abides in you and confesses to you that you're a child of God, then you're a child. It doesn't say anything like that. It's just you just convinced yourself enough that you said this prayer, then that's great. Do you know what hope is? Do you know what hope is? There's two kind of hopes. I hope I'd be back bowling by the end of the season. And that was exciting me, and that was helping me to go to rehab. And man, it was really helping me to do what I needed to do to get back in shape, because I put a goal out there of, you know, I'm going to bowl the last 2 weeks. But then I had the courage to ask, when can I bowl, to my physical therapist, and he said 6 to 8 weeks maybe. Well, the season's over with. So my hope this week was shattered. I mean, just shattered. But see, then I have another hope that life can't shatter. You see, this garbage here gives you that kind of hope. You see, because my hope wasn't based on facts or truth, was it? It was based on what I wanted, wasn't it? See, what this does is you want to go to heaven. So now your hope is in a hope that has no power behind it. What is faith? The assurance of things hoped for. The conviction of things not seen. And where does the assurance come from? And where does the conviction come from? From the Holy Spirit. So, see, my hope was coming based upon what I wanted. And when I found out truth, you see these people that stand before God, and he says, depart from me, I never knew you. Their hope, like my hope. See, God, it's amazing what God teaches us, isn't it? Through the perils of our life, that there was a spiritual lesson in all of this, and that, you know, now I still have got a choice, do I not? I can come and bowl, right? And then suffer the consequences of what happens if I hurt my shoulder, right? So see, you have a consequences. You can believe in this garbage. You could have been saved by this garbage and not really sit down with the Holy Spirit because he might tell you something that you don't want to hear. How embarrassing to be in the church your whole life and find out you're lost. That's a whole lot better than standing before God and finding out you're lost. You see, I'm always going to put my hope in the assurance of all God who has the power to bring to pass what he has promised. I have no power in that hope that I had to bring that about to happen. So it was a blind hope. It was a hope based upon nothing. And so many times we live our life based on hope that's not based on anything except what we want. And we have no power to make it happen. Everything God has written in there, he has the power to bring it to pass. And he cannot lie. So therefore, I have the assurance of the things that I now hope for. It's good stuff. Breaks my heart. And I will never be accepted into the churches of today. My message does not have a place in any of the churches today. It's sad. The truth does not matter.